let earth receive her king. You know, I have often thought, if I had lived in the days of Jesus, right? For one thing, I'd be really old right now. But if I had lived in the days of Jesus, there's no way that I would have missed who Jesus was. I mean, if I had seen him born to a virgin, if I had seen angels in the sky, if I had seen him doing miracles, if I had seen him speak, if I'd seen all these things that Jesus did, there's no way I would have ever missed who Jesus was. But if we look at the scripture, if you just look at history, overall, the earth, when Jesus came the first time, the earth did not receive her king. Right? And so the question of this series is this: is earth receiving her king now? Is earth receiving her king in 2017? And perhaps the bigger question is for us as the Assembly family, this season when we're celebrating Jesus and we're celebrating Christmas, are we going to go through the motions of just having church and having services? Are we really going to ask the Lord, Father, open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our minds that we can receive you as king like never before? Amen? Because we live, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that because we need that. Amen? Our world needs that. Your coworkers still need to receive Christ as king of their lives and king of this world. And so that's what we're asking the Lord to do this week. And today, I want to look at Luke chapter 1. This is the story of Mary. And of course, Mary, she received the king in a very unique way, a way that many of us never have to. But she did express some faith that we'll have to express. So let's read her story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And I'll just give you an alert. We're going to spend most of our time this morning looking at that part of the scripture. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God." Amen? "For no word from God will ever fail." Amen? And Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your will be fulfilled in me." And then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for the goodness you've shown to us and the presence we felt in this place. And I pray that this morning, not one person will leave this room without having a personal encounter with you and your presence today, because it's in your presence that we are changed to become more like you. So what I pray you to do, what only you can do, anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear and receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about Mary's reaction and introduce you to, a little bit better to Mary. We've got a video of her interviewed this morning.
"As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but, well, let's be honest, it's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth, never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me. And that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I know I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
The first words that the angel said to Mary was to not fear, for you are highly favored. You know, it's easy to look at Mary's story from the comfort of 2017 and this church this morning. It's easy to look at her story and think, wow, what an awesome privilege. How wonderful it must have been to be part of God's story, to be approached by an angel and have this great commission placed upon your life. That must have just been completely fantastic. But if you will look at the scripture closely, you will discover that the favor of God in her life, this favor that the angel said, hey, greetings, you are highly favored. This highly favored person, this great favor of God that fell upon Mary, brought with it some really hard times. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you real quickly about the favor of God. How many of you want the favor of God on your life? I mean, I know I do. I don't want to take a step outside of God's will and outside of God's favor. I want his favor upon my life. But a lot of times we think, well, if God is favoring me, then that means I won't have any problems. That means it'll never rain at my house and the wind will never blow my shingles off and nothing good, bad will ever happen to me. Many times we have this false perception that favor and difficulty are mutually exclusive, right? But Mary, in her life, we see that two things are very evident. Number one, she had an enormous amount of God's favor, but she also had an enormous amount of difficulty. And I want to talk to you about two truths about favor this morning. The first truth I want you to embrace this morning is this, that God has favored your life. That Christmas declares that God's favor is upon you. The angel said to Mary, you are highly favored because you're going to give birth to a son. His name is Jesus, and he will be with you, and he will forgive his people of all of their sins and make them to be right with God. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that Acts chapter 13 declares that that I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is possible and available to all of us. How many are you glad that God has given that great favor to us this morning? Amen? Amen. I'm thankful for that. You know, at my house, we have a tree, and this is sort of a hint for my wife, so I hope she's listening. By faith, I speak. In the next few weeks, there will be a gift under that tree with my name on it. And when I see that gift with my name on it, I will probably shake it, rattle it, roll it, do something to figure out what's inside of it. But just seeing my name on that gift lets me know that someone cares for me, right? Someone favors me. Even before I know what it is, I know that someone cares for me. Can I tell you this morning that God has given you a gift that perhaps you haven't opened yet? But Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says this, that while you and I were yet sinners, Christ showed this enormous favor for us because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we could have salvation this morning. So before you walked in the room today, I just want you to know that you are walking with this awesome gift of God's favor that is available to you. And Mary is just another example that God uses unsuspecting, unqualified, just ordinary people to show his favor upon and use mightily for his kingdom. And I don't believe your life is any exception to that. I believe that God wants to show his favor to you as well this morning. So that's truth number one. You've probably heard that truth before. I hope you have taken advantage of that truth that God really does favor your life. You are God's chosen person. I don't know why I feel tugged to touch on this another moment before I move on, but you are not the exception to God's favor. You're not the exception to God's grace and God's mercy and God's will and God's purpose for his life. You are included in this deal. You're included in the plan of God. God wants to redeem your life. He wants to use your life. He wants a purpose for your life beyond what you see or felt or know. You are a favored person of God this morning. Amen? That's who you are. Amen. I just feel that perhaps two or three people, perhaps 10 people have walked in today, and you just think, I'm another ordinary person, walked into an ordinary church for an ordinary Sunday, and I want you to know there's nothing ordinary at all about you. You are a favored child of God this morning. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not really sure I'm a child of God or not. Well, you can change that this morning. Amen? Because God wants to bring you into his family today. But here's the second truth, and really, the second truth is the title of the sermon this morning. It's the truth that I feel like we as a church need to embrace, and we need to. It's what I want you to remember, not just a week from now, but 2 years from now, the rest of your life. Here's the second thing that Mary learned about God's favor. The second thing she learned is this, that God's favor doesn't always seem favorable. Amen? The angel said unto Mary, greetings, you are highly favored of God. And then, if you'll read just another verse down the text, the angel says again, that you have found favor with God. The angel says it twice to her. And the reason I'm convinced that the angel told her that you are favored of God was because the angel knew that everything that happened for the next season of her life was going to seem unfavorable. How do you know just because your life seems unfavorable, just because the conditions of your life seems unfavorable, does not mean that God has lifted his favor from your life. Amen? Some of you this morning, you are going crazy. You are beating your head against the wall. You have think somehow I missed God's will and I messed up God's plan. You are convinced that the unfavorable conditions of your life is evidence that God's favor has been lifted from your life. But I want to tell you, nothing is farther from the truth. Listen, God's favor upon your life remains steadfast and forever, and he can use you because God's favor still moves when things seem unfavorable. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad set me down multiple nights working on algebra. And he just sat there with me to help me, but to also make sure I did it. Did anyone ever not tell your parents you had homework? Just so you didn't have to do it? No, I didn't think anyone like that was here. But that was my case. And it wasn't so much that I didn't want him helping me. I just didn't want to do it. And as long as he was helping me, I had to do it. And so I was sitting there, and Dad was helping with my homework. And I just said something along these lines. Dad, I wish you would just let me do it by myself. And that meant was, I really wish you weren't here so I wouldn't have to do it at all. That's what that meant. But my mother overheard me say that to my father, and she said these words. She said, Greg, there's a lot of kids who would love it if their dad would help them with their homework. Right? And internally, I was thinking this. Well, send them on over, and they can have my spot. But though I was failing algebra, I was smart enough to know not to say that. But you know, now that I'm 41 years old, I understand I really was favored. Amen. I was favored to have a dad who would be there and take time and help me. And I know there's many of you in this room, you said, man, I would kill to have had a dad that did that for me. I understand now that was the favor of God. But can I tell you, sitting around that dining room table as a teenager, it sure didn't seem like favor, right? The favor actually seemed unfavorable. Some of us in this room this morning, you are just... the favor of God is hovering over your life, and you're unaware of it because the conditions of your life seem unfavorable. But I want you to leave this place knowing that God's favor doesn't always seem favorable, that God can shine his light upon you and use you even when things don't seem favorable. Amen? Does that make sense this morning? So today I want to talk to you about that in just a moment. You know, if you look at Scripture, there's several people who were favored by God that had to endure things that didn't seem favorable. Moses was a person who, I mean, obviously he was favored by God. The command had gone out for every male child of the Israelite community to be slain. And here he is. His mother hides him for a while. Then she floats him into this river infested with crocodiles and everything else. And anyone could see him and kill him. And all of a sudden, he survives that. And he's picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh, who raises him as her own. He lives up, he's trained in this lifestyle that's so much beyond anything his biological parents could have ever provided for him. That is so obvious that he is favored by God. Then he leads the nation of Israel for all these years to the promised land. But how many believe that when he was wandering for 40 years in the desert, that may not have seemed very favorable. But the favor of God was still there. You can look at Joseph, who was the favored son of his father. He was so favored that his dad gave him a jacket that was a lot nicer than the rest of his brother's jacket. Instead of celebrating with him, they actually hated him because he was favored. Don't be surprised when people hate you because they see the favor of God upon your life. And it's really a shame, because we shouldn't covet the favor of someone else, because God has his own favor for you. Right? But Joseph was sold into slavery, lied about, put in prison and forgotten about before he ever became the second command of Egypt. There was a season of his life where, even though God's favor was upon him, things didn't seem very favorable. But I want to tell you, favor doesn't always have to seem favorable. And this message is important to you this morning for a few reasons. Number one, if you think favor always has to seem favorable, there will be opportunities that God wants to use your life to do some great things with. If you think God's favor always has to seem favorable, you're going to say no to some really big things that God wants you to say yes to. Amen? I know you think, well, Pastor, if God's favor is upon me, the only place he will ever call me to do anything is like Candyland, where everything is sweet and wonderful, and it's just, you know, it's perfect. And when I witness at work, and, you know, when I get the new job, when I enter the new place, everybody's going to love me. No. God sometimes positions us in places where people need us so he can use us. And how many know when God puts you in places where people are broke, busted, and disgusted, it might not look good. Amen? Because you might be the only light in that dark place. So you can't decide that favor always looks favorable. If you think favor always seems favorable, then when trouble comes to your life, instead of praying that God gives you the power to persevere, you might pray that God gets you out of there. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus because there is a great effectual door of ministry open to me, and there are many who persecute me. Now that doesn't make sense. Who wants to stay where you're being persecuted? Who wants to stay where there's being trouble? But Paul recognized that even though the conditions of life didn't seem favorable, the power of God and the favor of God was still active there. So today I just want to ask or answer to you this question. What do I do when God's favor doesn't seem favorable? Because at some point, in your walk with following Jesus, the favor of God is going to lead you to some seasons of life where that favor no longer seems favorable. There's going to be some seasons of your life that the favor of God brings you to, and you think, Lord, I just wish you didn't favor me quite so much. Right? Lord, I wish you didn't trust me with this so much. I wish you, because that's what happened, you know, that's what happened to Mary. I believe that one reason that Mary said that twice was that he wanted her to make sure that, don't forget, though what you see is not good, God has favored you. So what do I do when favor doesn't seem favorable? Here's a few things this morning. Number one, remember that God is with you. That's the first thing that the angel said to Mary. You are highly favored, for God is with you. How many are glad that God's with you today? And I'm so thankful that the word says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. He is closer than any brother could ever be. But the favor of God immediately brought separation to Mary's life, right? It didn't just bring separation, it brought isolation. You know, when I was in school, there was a kid in my grade who told me he was going to beat me up after school. And I summed him up and decided he could. And so I needed a plan B. And so plan B was this. I got one of my best friends who was actually smaller than I was. But the thing was, my best friend had a brother who was in high school. And I decided that I would ride home with them that day. And so instead of getting off the school bus, I'd get out of his car. And sure enough, when I got home that day, that classmate of mine was standing at the end of our street waiting on me to get out of the bus. But instead, I got out of this cool kid's minivan. And as not cool as the minivan may seem, that kid left me alone that day, not because I was stronger than him, and not because there was two of us, but because there was someone bigger than both of us that was with me. Can I tell you, the favor of God is this: there's somebody bigger than you that's with you this morning. Amen? And the angel said to Mary, you are highly favored, but beyond that, God is with you. And when favor doesn't seem favorable, you got to remember God is with you. Amen? He's with you. John chapter 4 says, remember that you are, though you're little children, you're going to overcome them because he who is with you is greater than those who are in the world. I know that Christmas is sometimes a magnifying glass. Sometimes Christmas magnifies the fact that that God has led us through seasons where those who once were with us are no longer with us. Some of us in this room lost family members. You've lost a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife. You've lost a child or grandparent, a parent, whatever it is. And sometimes Christmas magnifies that element of loneliness. But I want to remind you this Christmas season, the favor of God is with you. And you are not alone this Christmas season. God's favor is with you. And when favor seems to lead you to an abandoned place, remember, God is still with you. He's still with you. Second of the day, when favor seems unfavorable, remember that your life is tied to an eternal plan. Verse number 33, The angel said that he would give the Messiah reign over Jacob's descendants forever because his kingdom will never end. When your life seems unfavorable, remember the favor of God ties your life to an eternal plan. Did Mary really know that in 2017, 2,000 years later, did she really know that you and I would still be responding to the presence of her son? Did she really know that the impact of Jesus' ministry and his sacrifice would just keep reaching? I don't really know what she knew. But here's what the angel told her. Your life, the favor of God, is tying you to something that's beyond what you see. And when favor seems unfavorable, you've got to remember that what you're spending your life for has to be attached to more than what is just temporary. If you walk into my office, there's a picture of my wife and I. And I would challenge you, if you come to my office, make sure you look at that picture because I have a full head of hair. I mean, I look fantastic. I mean, just as most humble as I can say it. I do, okay? If you don't believe me, just ask me. But on that picture, you will see a red sticker. Because several years ago, I was reading a book entitled All Goes Back in the Box. And in that book, the author challenges the reader to go get yourself some of those yard sale stickers. You know, when you're processing stuff for your yard sale, those red colored stickers. And in that book, he challenges you to get you a packet of red ones and a packet of blue ones and go through your house and your office and your whole life. Just go through there, and every time you see something that is eternal, put a red sticker on it. He said, go through your checkbook, and every time you make an eternal investment, like into one more life, right? Highlight that in red. And every time you make a purchase that's just about something temporary, highlight that in blue. And every time you look around your house, and if what you have around your house isn't really going to last, put blue sticker on that. And I did that exercise, and I discovered this. I have invested a whole lot more in the blue stickers than I have red stickers. But I would challenge you this way. When favor seems unfavorable, that is a time in your life you need to invest in things and examine what is really eternal, what really matters. In the light of eternity, what is this thing that I'm stressing about? Is it really going to matter in light of eternity? And if not, then let's stress about what does matter in light of eternity. I mean, let's focus on what can I spend my life in that's going to live beyond my life. When favor seems unfavorable, remember, your life has been tied to the eternal plan of God, not just our own temporary plans. Well, does that mean that my temporary plans don't matter? Well, it's not, doesn't matter if they, doesn't mean that they don't matter. It just means that there's a broader plan, a greater plan that matters more. Thirdly, this morning, when favor seems unfavorable, this point helps me out so much. Remember that God is not bothered by your questions. The angel showed up, said, hey, you are a highly favored of God. And Mary said, woohoo, bring it on. This is going to be awesome. No, she said, well, Lord, how can this thing be? Since I'm just a virgin, she began to ask, how on earth can this take place? And when favor seems unfavorable, a lot of us, we have this tendency to take our questions and bury them. Or even worse, you know, I read this stat a while ago that said the average 2-year-old asks 125 questions a day. Which I'm like so thankful because my daughter is a rocket scientist because she's 2 years old and she asks like 500 questions a day, I'm convinced. But it says with every year that a child turns older, they stop asking questions. And the older you get, the more questions. They say the average adult, by the time you reach, you know, our age, the average adult asks about 8 real questions a day. And which means two things. Number one, we lose our curiosity. But here's the big problem with it, is that we replace our questions with assumptions. And if we think favor always has to seem favorable, what you're going to do is you're going to assume the plan of God and the miraculous right out of your life. You're going to assume that God doesn't want to do anything, can't do anything, that how things are is how things are going to be. But if you were like Mary, when things seem unfavorable, not deny the favor of God, but bring your questions to the Lord, then you're opening the door for God to do abundantly above what you could think or what you could imagine in your own imagination. So don't hide or bury your questions. Don't live in fear. I just got to ask you this morning, when life seems unfavorable, have you been making bad assumptions or bringing your issues to the Lord with faith? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of analytical. I like to know how things are going to work before I decide. Megan gets kind of crazy with me sometimes because she'll ask me a question and I like to think about my answers. That sounds like a good thing, right? To think before you speak? Okay. Y'all don't think so? Okay. I'll try to change that. And just hang on, baby. Here we go. No telling what's going to come out. But I've discovered that even though I like to think before I speak and think before I make decisions, I can still make mistakes. Which makes my mistakes feel even stupider because I really thought it out before I made it. But I just want to challenge you, don't let the questions you're not asking, don't let what you can't see blind you to what God wants to do. When life seems unfavorable, don't let that convince you that it has eradicated God's favor, but take your questions to the Lord and don't be afraid of asking your questions, but also, listen, don't be afraid of unanswered questions. Because the Lord answered Mary's question in a way that no one understood. You know, she asked the Lord a scientific, biological question. How is this going to happen? And he responds with, well, you know, the presence of the Almighty will overshadow you. That's not a biological answer to that question. But she just said, Lord, let it be. She took her question to the Lord. Fourth this morning, what do I do when life seems unfavorable? Remember that nothing is impossible with God. Verse number 37 says, for no word. Say it with me, no word. No word. Now say it like you meant it. No word. No word from the Lord will ever fail. God gives Mary a sign of his ability. He tells Mary that your cousin Elizabeth, I really like the way the King James Version says it better. She who was barren is now with child. As a sign of what is impossible, as a sign that what is impossible can be made possible, God takes the spotlight off of Mary and says, listen, I'm going to show you something else that you already know is impossible. The fact that Elizabeth could be pregnant, that's impossible. She's too old. She's tried too long. If it was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. He takes the spotlight off of her inability and puts it on someone else's inability and says, now she who was barren is in her 6th month. And if I can do that in her life, then I'm also doing it in your life. You've got to understand that no word from God will ever fail. Some of you in this room, you think you've gone too far. You think that God's favor is over. But I want to challenge you, when things seem unfavorable, remember God's word never fails. Amen? Fifth this morning, last, Megan, if you want to come. When favor seems unfavorable, remember to align your heart to the Lord. Mary took her questions to the Lord. She heard his answer that really didn't make sense to me. I'm not sure if it made sense to her or not. But despite the fact she didn't understand it, she just aligned her heart. She said, Lord, let it be unto me as you have said. She didn't let the unfavorable circumstances keep her from embracing the favor of God. You know, I've got a little cousin of mine who, when he was about 6 years old, he begged for a mini bike. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't know what they're really called, but like a 50cc. You know, that's I'm 41 years old, and I wouldn't mind having one. I mean, they're just, you know. But that's all he wanted for, not just for Christmas, for months. He asked and asked and asked. And his dad got it for him for Christmas. And he jumped on that thing Christmas morning, cranked it up, and went from about from me to the door, wide open, right into a fence post. And said these words, "I'll never ride it again." And from like the age, from the time he was 6 until about the time he was 8 or 9 years old, that mini bike sat under the garage. Not really hurt, just sitting there. Because he'd crashed it, he'd never ride it again. Until one day his dad finally said, "Hey, why don't you please try that thing one more time?" And so the kid tried it one more time. And this time, he took off just like before, but instead of hitting the fence post, he hit the field, and he just, you know, for hours, he just had a blast. And I just kind of thought, you know, man, how many times have I discounted and pushed pleasures and possibilities that God wants me to have down the road 2 or 3 years because I crashed one time? I just want you to know your failure doesn't have to be fatal or final. Amen? And when favor seems unfavorable, if you look at the life of Mary, Mary had to have moments where she thought, uh-oh, it's all over. You know, when Jesus is rejected by the religious elites, and yet he's supposed to be Messiah, well, it must be over. If he's not accepted by them, there's no way God can elevate him. It has to be over. When he was arrested, she had to think, it has to be over. When he was beaten, she thought it had to be over. When he was crucified, she had to think, well, it has to be over. When he was buried, she'd have to think, it has to be over. This failure now, or this favor seems like a failure. But we just celebrated with communion that Jesus is alive, and there's this day that we're going to stand before him. Amen. And the cross of Jesus Christ reminds me, and it should remind all of us today, that even when favor seems unfavorable, the favor of God is still working in your life and in my life, because our failure doesn't have to be final. God's favor is greater than our failure. And when life seems unfavorable, remember, the thing to do is to align your heart and say, "Father, no matter what I see, what I experience, no matter what I've done, no matter what's been done to me." Listen, some of you in this room, some of you, you need to understand, the greatest hurt in your life will not be your failure. Instead, it will be people who fail you. And when people fail you, and think, "I can't get past this because I've been hurt too bad." Remember, when people fail you, whether the failure is your fault or their fault, remember in that moment, even though it seems unfavorable, God's favor has not changed. Amen? And you need to learn to align your heart in the midst of your failure. You got to learn to align your heart in the midst of other people's failure and say, "Lord, I'm going to focus because you said I am highly favored, and you said that no word from you would ever fail. And so that's going to be my chant. That's going to be my banner. That's going to be my foundation, that you said I am highly favored and I belong to you. So everything else has to bow a knee to that word." Amen? So remember, favor doesn't always seem favorable. But that doesn't mean God's favor has lifted from your life. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me all across this room. Two great truths today. Truth number one is God has favored your life. You walk in the room today for the very first time. You come to church today for the very first time. Or perhaps this is your 20th 1,000 time to be in church today. Perhaps you've never heard the story of Jesus. Perhaps you've heard it so many times you could recode it back to me better than I could. The question is not, do you know the story? The question is, have you opened the gift of the story? Have you received the favor of God through salvation? I want you to know today, Jesus, everything that we've talked about this morning, the whole Christmas season, Jesus coming to earth, living a perfect life, dying a sacrificial death, raising again on the third day, all of that was about this one thing. He wanted to show the favor of his salvation to you. The question is, will you receive your King? Will you receive the King? Will you receive Jesus this morning? And you walked in and say, "Pastor, I'm not right with God. I've never committed my life to Christ. He's not the leader of my life. He's not my Savior. He's not my Lord." Don't leave today. Listen, doesn't matter how many presents under the tree have my name on them. I'm not going to receive the benefit unless I unwrap it and receive it for myself. The same is true with salvation this morning. Amen. Jesus has done everything that can be done. The question simply now relies upon us. Are we going to receive what he's provided for us? And today you say, Pastor, this is not about what you've done wrong or right. This is about what Jesus has done for you. And you have never received him as your Savior today. Would you just unwrap the gift this morning and receive what he has for you? And today, this is just your moment between you and the Savior. Say, Pastor, I need to do that today. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor.